week. It's nearly summer, which means the game developers, publishers, and makers around all present their wares this year from a distance. Introverts unite apart. Join us for the announcement preparations and schedule your favorites starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 823 for this June the 14th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm here in the studio that we've used for a little while out of a lot of the various studios that we've used over the years. But I'm by myself as we are practicing social distancing, as is still the case right now. But I am joined, thanks to the magic of Discord, by my co-hosts. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
Good. I see still Kirby in the background. I'm looking at doll legs as well.
I moved my camera.
I gotcha. But you look great.
Thank you.
All right. Also say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, and I'm trying to figure out, what is that? Is that Mega Zeus? Oh my gosh, the sequel to ZZT or something like that, right? In the background with you?
Yeah. I was trying to find something interesting background. So it was either like some weird trippy Minecraft thing that only lasts for 3 minutes or a long play of Mega Zeus. So that's what it's going to be.
I love it. I'm with it. That's awesome. All right. Well, we have had a busy week in the gaming world. I know we're getting a little bit of a late start tonight, so I want to get right on into it. We had a lot of news this week. This would have been the week that E3 would have taken place, but obviously with the situation of, well, first off, E3, of course, was not, it was in a weird place as it was, and then COVID happened, and then it was certainly not going to happen this year. So all the gaming companies have kind of scrambled to do their own thing. IGN brought a lot of people together under like a summer banner, but Sony moved forward, and this week had their PlayStation 5 preview, which was originally going to be last week, but obviously with everything that's going on in the call for racial justice and equality, which is still going on, just because you're not seeing it 24/7 on CNN doesn't mean it's not happening. Several friends of mine were at an LA protest today because they kind of turned the LA Pride into a huge thing for a support of Black Lives Matter and Black Trans Lives Matter, of course. So all of that is still going on, but some of the kind of the where do we kind of fit in the other, you know, things that go on, such as video games and recreation, you know, trying to find the places for that appropriately. We did have the PlayStation 5 announcement this week, and there was a lot to it. Let me just kind of start from the top and ask my co-hosts just generally, what were your reactions to Sony's PlayStation 5 reveal? Loki, I'll start with you.
I started watching when I thought it was supposed to be on, and apparently there was like trailers that started before that time. So I was a little disappointed that it didn't start when they said they were going to. At least I thought. Otherwise, content-wise, yeah, it's PlayStation. I mean, there's a few games that look pretty interesting, not necessarily the ones that, like the mainstream stuff. So, I don't know. Some of the announcements are disappointing. Like, seriously, Rockstar, we're going to do Grand Theft Auto 5 again, you know, for third generation of consoles. I don't know. I still need to know more about it. Like, what exactly, you know, the system's going to, you know, what are the features of the system? And then they kind of showed some of the console and, like, some of the accessories for some reason. No PlayStation VR. I'm kind of surprised. And yet we don't know price or release date or which of those games that they showed are actually coming out at release. Or is it going to be release window, you know, the 12 months after release or whatever. I mean, it looks really cool. A lot of the games look pretty nice. I don't think that they're necessarily like blowing me away with this looks drastically different than like the PlayStation 4, but you know, I'll have to see. And then also with these games, I mean, are they going to be coming out on PlayStation 4 as well? Or is these all PlayStation 5? I mean, it's just a lot of like kind of unknowns there. So, we'll have to see.
So maybe some more specifics on some of these scenarios would have been good for you. I can see that. You know, we don't know exactly what is a PlayStation 5 exclusive. Like, I'm sure we can assume the Horizon the out west. I forgot the westward ho. I forget what was the name of the Horizon Westlife.
It was the Horizon. What was it? It was Horizon Forbidden West.
Thank you, Horizon Forbidden West. I can assume that is a PlayStation 5 exclusive. Well, actually, no, I can't even assume that anymore because there's been all that rumble rabble about Zero Dawn coming to PC at some point. But, you know, what exactly is a PlayStation 5 exclusive? I think you bring up a good point. What might be available on PlayStation 4? The Grand Theft Auto 5 thing, I thought certainly was going to lead into a conversation about the larger conversation about backwards compatibility on the PlayStation 5. I thought that's how they were opening the door to that conversation. Like, here's the first of all of these games. And granted, yes, Sony has confirmed, because there was all that odd, like, there was an odd footing that happened after the Mark Cerny chat that was originally GDC, where he had said the top 100 games, and then Sony said it's going to be a lot more than that. Those are just, like, you know, they kind of quickly corrected that statement. But they haven't really, like, just given us a firm, like, what to expect of backwards compatibility. We know PlayStation 4 is there in some capacity, but is it everything? Is it, you know, did they get every single game? Are there going to be some things excluded? What about PlayStation 3, PlayStation 2, and PlayStation 1? We know
that's why it's curious about, like, what all those details were going to be, because they didn't really go into any of that. And I know that's because they have this whole summer thing where they're gonna have more announcements, I'm sure, or more stuff to talk about around Gamescom and all that, and later in the summer, so we'll get more details then. But it's kind of annoying, though. It's like this drip feed of information. Yeah.
But I also, there's also a part of me that understands the message this episode or whatever was supposed to be: the games. Games, and they didn't really want to deviate from that. And maybe there's something to be said about what they wanted to talk about, the future of games, and maybe not linger so much on the past. But if that's the case, that Grand Theft Auto 5 was a misstep in my book. But I still found a lot of positives. However, before we go on too much longer, I definitely want to let Dark Sakura have a say. What was your thoughts? I don't know if you watched it or saw some of the trailers. What did you think, Dark Sakura?
I looked and saw a little bit of it. I'm kind of interested in whatever their Resident Evil thing is going to be. The design is fine. I don't even know if that's going to be a final design, because they've changed before. I don't know. This might sound a little bit odd, but I was really focusing more on social issues right now. So
no, it's not odd at all.
I've been actually doing, like, some design work for a couple of the protest organizations. So yeah.
Interesting point, though, about the design possibly not being finalized. And, you know, you're right. They don't always. And the thing that jumps in my mind like a neon sign is the PlayStation 3 controller. Remember when we first saw that at E3 years ago, it was like the boomerang. I actually kind of like the boomerang.
That thing was terrible.
I liked it. It was different.
Looking at it made my hands hurt.
All right, fine. So, different opinions, whatever. But when it comes to the console itself, I would be surprised if there was major changes. But we've seen this thing memeified like crazy at this point. Let me actually roll some footage, of course. I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen this by now. But this is what the PlayStation 5, like, reveal actually looked like. And if you hear some ominous music in the background, that's because it's from PlayStation's official reveal on the YouTube. And we've seen this thing memeified like crazy. Talk about how it's an Oreo or one of those reverse ones, sandwiches. Talk about how it looks like a Wi-Fi router. And just we've seen all sorts
cell's
of
heads.
Yes. Yeah, we've seen
perfect cell's head. And I saw, though, like, one where they did, like, human forms of the systems. It was kind of neat.
Yeah, there were some like porned up versions, but there were some other tasteful versions that it's kind of interesting to see that conceptualized. But I
saw one that looked really high fashion, actually, that I was like, I'd wear that.
I have to admit, like, I think I like it because it's different. I mean, is it the perfect, you know, figure or whatever? Maybe not, but I kind of like that it's not just a box, you know? And PlayStation's always, well, I shouldn't say always, but they've done some weird things before. Like the PlayStation 3 being a Foreman grill, come on. Like, that was a weird thing too. And it
attracts so much dust.
It did. Like, I would rather this system not attract that much dust and this system be quiet.
You say did. Mine's still hooked up.
Okay, technically I have a PlayStation 3 hooked up here in the corner, but I don't even think it's hooked into a television right now. But anyway, I really think at the end of the day, people are not going to pass on the PlayStation 5 because they don't like the way the console looks. Like, I guess maybe you might have people that, like, hold out for a year because maybe they're not super happy with the launch lineup. And we all know, and there's been all these talks and all these renderings. I'm sure many people have seen that Spider-Man console rendering, which it looked good in red and so forth. But these are all fan dreams. But at some point, the console will likely come out in different colors and different shapes and things like that. Or maybe there'll be a mini
because
or something.
Because money.
Yeah.
And or vinyl skins.
Yeah, and I could see people maybe holding out for that, but I feel like if there's really the games on this console people want to play day one, they'll figure out where to put that console, and it's not going to be a big deal. Like, the look of it is not a big deal. I wondered myself if the shape wasn't in part to do with air circulation, and maybe having the odd shape meant that the vents would have to be exposed a little bit and you wouldn't maybe be able to fit it into a very tight confined space very easy, and maybe that's intentional. That's my a tinfoil hat theory, I guess, if nothing else.
Maybe I don't know. It does look very tall. I wish they had shown, there was a shot that I saw where the system can be laid horizontally as well. Because otherwise that looks like it's going to be a hard fit for my entertainment console. I don't think I'd be even able to fit it in there. Otherwise it'd have to lay flat. And I kind of like, you know, like, everyone's like dogging on the Xbox console, but I like my consoles to be kind of flat because then I can stack them. Yeah, I know that's not really making sense for, you know, thermal design and everything, but I like being able to stack stuff. I loved having my PlayStation 2 and being able to stack stuff on top of it, or my Xbox 360. I like them being somewhat flat so that you can do that. Even if it's not necessarily like another game console, maybe like controllers or something. You know, the PlayStation 3, I had that and it had to be off to the side because it didn't really fit anywhere and you couldn't put anything on top of it. So it was really awkward. And I don't care, whatever. Who cares what the console looks like?
Let's talk a little bit about the fact that you have now a disc drive version or a Blu-ray drive version, and we have a no Blu-ray version. And this is something we've already seen Microsoft do in the last generation, but I believe this is the first time we're seeing Sony go this direction of an all-digital console. We didn't hear anything about price, and we didn't hear anything about release date, which I can understand the release date side of things because they're probably still trying to navigate the waters with COVID and everything, and, you know, second wave, especially in countries where these things are produced and so forth. There's still probably a lot of to be determined when it comes to that. The price, though, I think a lot of people are getting the sense they're playing chicken with Microsoft a little bit. But having the two different options certainly opens the door for them to be able to say, oh, we're going to price this one below Microsoft, we're going to price this one above Microsoft. But I kind of feel like it's going to be obvious that Xbox Series X will also have disc drive. Microsoft will also do this.
Do that because they've already done that. They already have a digital version of the Xbox One, so that's not a new thing. I need to know what the price difference is before, like, I would decide. And I'd still probably, even though I do mostly digital purchases anyways, I still like having the flexibility for it. So I would probably just still get one with a drive, either, you know, unless it's like several hundred dollars more. But I don't know. I would have to see really what the, you know, cost savings is going to be on that. But I still like the flexibility of it, even if it's not something I'm going to be using a lot.
Dark Sakura, do you think digital versus disc is a conversation that'll happen in your household?
Probably. We're kind of blasé about some things. Like, we may get a physical copy if it's got stuff I think that we want with it. But I don't know, since the whole quarantine started going on, I think that we did get a little bit less on top of the physical media side of things. Well, really, it was just Animal Crossing. So, I don't know. Now, me, I want good packaging. I want good artwork. I want to be able to see it and look at it and enjoy it and put it somewhere so I can still look at it and see it and enjoy it. we have, I mean, well, you've seen what my closet in my game room looks like, full of the boxes and some of the best artwork that, you know, that you can see. So I would rather enjoy having a physical copy. However, I also enjoy having space, and we are running quite short of it.
Let me ask a weird question. This might be a stupid question, but there's no such thing as stupid questions, right? Unless I'm the one asking them.
Only stupid people.
Okay, well, then this is a stupid people statement.
No, it's not.
Could the disk drive-less version be a response to COVID and this new world we find ourselves in?
No, it's because the system's going to be expensive, and so they want to have a version that's cheaper. That's all.
And how many... not too many, say, laptops come with a CD-DVD drive. I mean, again, cuts down on cost. You can make a better computer. So I look at it that way.
Does anyone...
Yeah, a lot of laptops don't come with a drive, so they can make them thinner. But with maybe not so much on the Mac side of the house, but on the PC side, you have multiple storefronts. You can purchase software from multiple options to make purchases. Whereas you have a closed system with PlayStation or Microsoft in order purchasing things. So it's granted they do a lot more sales nowadays, I think, digitally, but it's really, you know, you're only going to be purchasing it there. And if it goes on sale, it's because the publishers decided to put it on sale, and you can't get stuff secondhand. You can't sell used games. If that's important to you, then, you know, something to consider. I like the flexibility, whether I use it or not. I know with this generation, PlayStation 4, it's been mostly digital. Like, 99% of the stuff I bought is digital. So, I don't know.
I'm still buying a lot of physical things. I mean, I'm open to digital, and I do more and more digital, especially on the Switch, because I like the portability and all that. But there's still a lot of physical things I buy. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not as like staunchly against an all digital thing as I once was at one point. I mean, after all, and I think this point got brought up in chat. And I'm sorry, guys. I don't mean to ignore you guys in chat. My phone is all digital, and I have a ton of applications and software and games and the like on my phone. You know, so it's not like an all digital thing is a completely foreign concept. Now, what's funny, and this comment made me laugh in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwell show. And Questbuster says the Phantom called and wants people to remember it was a thing. Well,
the what?
The Phantom. Remember that? Phantoms.
The what?
Phantom. Phantoms.
Oh, that was a movie, yes. Right? A really bad movie.
Anyway.
Wasn't it bad? I don't remember.
Anyway. The point with all that is that there is such a thing as being ahead of your time. Hello, the Sega Dreamcast called. You know, there is such a thing as like you're too ahead of your time that it just doesn't catch on, you know, the same way. And maybe in a way that's what happened with the Phantom.
Well, TigerClaw has a good point too. Like, speaking about backwards compatibility, we don't know how that's going to work. So if, say, for example, the system is backwards compatible with PlayStation 1, 2, 3, 4 games, you know, and those can be read via the disk drive, it may be advantageous to have a disk drive in the system so that you can play all those.
That's a very good point. You're going to need a disk drive if backwards compatibility beyond 4 is a thing. I mean, and even with 4 being a thing, if you have PlayStation 4 discs, unless you have a digital license, a PlayStation 5 is not going to automatically recognize that. So that's a very excellent thought for folks that are considering disc versus digital. Quickly, and then I want to talk a little more about some of the games at the PlayStation 5 event. Quickly, does anybody want to tinfoil hat what the price and date, you don't have to hit the date on the head, but what the price and date-ish will be? You might co-host want to take a stab at it?
$499, $599. And November.
Darksocker,
low end's going to be $499. Higher model system's going to run about $650, $700. They did it before.
I am also going to go. I'm going to go with a $499, $599. I don't think Darksocker's thought is beyond, because, you know, again, if the discless one is $499, that's what they're going to say the price is. And we all remember when Sony got a lot of shit during the PlayStation 3 reveal with the $599 US. If they hit that mark or beyond it with the one with the disc drive, they are not going to be emphasizing that price. You're going to see all the marketing material says starting at $499. That's what it will all say. As far as the time frame, I'm going to predict a delay to March. I don't think it comes out this year. And I know all the games are already saying holiday and so forth. I'm going to be the weirdo that says they don't make it. And it's because of the COVID situation and just the supply demand type of thing. I don't think it makes the holiday, but we'll see. All right. Looking in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. DJ Rama S says, here's the deal on backwards compatibility, whether it's Xbox Series X or PlayStation 5. Both systems have the hardware to be backwards compatible with its older systems. The issues lies into licensing, meaning if third-party companies want their games to be played on the newest system. It is a weird thing to think about in a way, though, when we think like, oh, the PlayStation 2 just played every single PlayStation 1 game. And I'm trying to think, and maybe the Wii U played every Wii game, and those things weren't really a problem, but backwards compatibility isn't as common as you'd necessarily think, maybe. Although Nintendo did a very good job with their handheld systems. I would say the handheld systems where we got really spoiled. Like Game Boy Color played Game Boy games. Game Boy Advance played Game Boy Color games. DS played Advance games. 3DS played DS games. Like their portables were like always very good with backwards compatibility. But otherwise, we don't see it a lot. Interesting. Phoenix 7726 says, wait, they have a Cell processor for PS3 play, huh? We don't know yet for sure. We don't know what that's going to entail. We don't know if it would be emulation or if it's even going to be there. Or could they do something via PlayStation Now and their streaming service? Like we don't know. It could be any of those things. So, all right. Anyhow, let's talk a little more about some of the games that we saw at the PlayStation event. We've mentioned a couple of them, such as the Horizon Forbidden West. But what about some of the other games? Were there other things that caught your eye? I know a lot of people were talking about Spider-Man Miles Morales. A lot of people were lighting up at that trailer.
Yeah, that looked pretty good. I haven't played the original one, but it looks like a great game. And the new one looks pretty good, too. It was a little confusing because at first, you know, everyone's like, oh, a new game. And then it was like, oh, it's only an expansion. Oh, is it a new game or is it an expansion? So apparently what it sounds like, it's a spinoff, kind of like how they did with Infamous. They had like that. I don't remember what the subtitle was on that one. But there was one that was like a spinoff game in the same engine, but it's its own thing. So I think it's just a spinoff. I don't know if it's like an expansion with a remastered game or something like that.
Well, they really butchered the messaging after that trailer because you had that executive who said, oh, it's the original one with additional content. And then Insomniac had to come out and say, no, it's an all new game. It's just not Spider-Man 2. It's like a Spider-Man side thing. And they said it was like Uncharted. Uncharted had that side game that came out not that long ago. Of course, I forget the subtitle in the moment. Lost Legacy, was that it? So they had that. So it's going to be a similar game, you know, in that. Or another good one might be like there's Bioshock 2 and then there's Bioshock Infinite. Which one's the sequel?
Well, right? Technically, both are.
Right.
Infinite,
so
Infinite's not a side story, though. Infinite ties everything together.
I know, but which one's the sequel? So there's different ways you can kind of do a sequel. I think, I don't know. But
it's kind of a bad comparison. I don't know.
They really butchered the messaging on that. So I think it's going to be a fine game. If you enjoyed the Spider-Man game, there's no reason you're not going to like this one as well, I'm sure. And it will be prettier because it's on PlayStation 5. Darksoccer already mentioned Resident Evil 8, The Village, or Village. That looks scary. That looked like it might have been a VR thing as well. And you pointed out they avoided talk about VR altogether.
Well, the last game was fully playable in VR, so it would make sense that this one is.
Yeah. Gran Turismo 7 was pretty.
Yeah. It looked pretty.
Yeah.
I don't like sim games, though.
Yeah, I don't usually get into the racing sim games, but it did look pretty. How about Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart? That gameplay was really smooth. Like, it was kind of neat to watch that gameplay flow.
Yeah, I that was one of the trailers I had missed originally. I saw the announcement for it, but it looks nice. Looks better than the movie that they did.
I totally forgot about the movie, but yeah, it was just
probably a good thing that you forget about it.
Yeah, it really snapped as they were moving from, like, you know, place to place. Like, I definitely think that was a way to show off the solid state drive and the types of things that can bring to it. So it was interesting. The Demon Souls remake. They didn't really show us a lot outside of a, you know, creepy looking trailer. No gameplay here, but I'm sure that'll be something that Alan will be into if I pick up the PlayStation 5 right away, because I know he likes those games. I liked the trailer for Deathloop. Did you guys see that? The Arkane Studios game,
I forgot all about that. They had shown that last year at the Bethesda thing, and I completely forgot about it. Because originally when I saw it, I was like, oh, another Dishonored, and it's like Deathloop. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right, they have that game. Yeah, it looks interesting. I like the art style.
NBA 2K21 was there, which, you know, I thought that was a very odd approach to really focus on the sweat. I don't think sweat is a thing that people like to think about a lot. So that was
you're going to be sweating, thinking about how much money you're going to be spending on those microtransactions.
It was an odd approach to a trailer, but I mean, we can't sit here and go, sports, whatever, because sports games, people do buy those. A lot of people buy those. So it's important.
Can't wait to see the extreme fidelity and the bugginess of the new WWE. Oh, that's right. They're skipping this year. Well, hopefully it's not a piece of garbage. I mean, NBA's 2K is usually okay, but that's only in comparison to NBA. I don't even know what they call the EA one. I guess it doesn't matter because that one's not very good. But yeah, it's a big mess of microtransactions and loot boxes. That's all I think of that series. So,
And then we had Sackboy. I was excited about that because I kind of feel like the Little Big Planet games kind of need to come back a little bit. And this is sort of that, it seems like. Now, I completely understand Media Molecules moved on to Dreams and they have a big old thing. So it's kind of one of those, I didn't think they'd go back to this idea, but Sackboy is a PlayStation mascot of sorts. And the trailer looked really cute. I was into it.
It looks cool.
I was going to say, the little sack girl they had in the trailer looks just like one of my friends in her Burning Man photos. Straight up. I don't know if you saw the little sack girl. She looks straight up like one of my friends at Burning Man.
Well, I always used to like, now granted, like I didn't never really mess too much with the actual level creators and everything in those games, even though they're really, you know, cool. But I love playing like the single player campaigns and stuff. So, I mean, I'm sure this will be great.
Sorry, guys, I'm just not going to have time to dive into everything. So I'm just kind of doing a few like standouts for me here. I thought that Hitman 3 trailer, like when it was going, I was like, ooh, what game is this? This looks neat. And then they were like, it's Hitman 3. And I was like, it's Hitman? Really? I usually pass on those games, but that was one of the better looking trailers, I really thought.
That looked pretty exciting. The other one that I really liked too, that was pretty cool looking, is Ghostwire Tokyo. That looked really cool. Where they're like fighting like demons and stuff like that. That was pretty sweet. And then Pragmata was another one that like really trippy. I don't even know what it is. It's some game from Capcom. It looked pretty awesome.
I really liked Returnal. That was the one with the woman in space. Otherwise, it was a little bit vague what that might be about. But I usually like space sci-fi games. It looked like it might be a little bit of a platformer type of game. I'm kind of curious more about that. So I'm curious to see some gameplay on that. The Square Enix game, Project Athia, that looked hot, hot, hot. I mean, again, we need to see more gameplay, but I was living for that character design. The environments looked awesome. That was, it was a little bit of a cryptic trailer because you didn't really see what the game was, but I was into that. I don't know about you guys, but that was great.
Is that that engine that they showed off like a long time ago?
Well, it's the Luminous engine, which is what Final Fantasy 15 was built in. It was not, I do not believe it was the one that they showed a couple E3s ago that people were like, oh, is this like the first look at Final Fantasy 16 and they're not calling it that? I don't think this project relates to that. I think
that's really cool, though.
Yeah. And then I also, of course, the game of the show was Stray. That was the one where you're the cat and there was all the robots, but you're playing as the cat. And you know, I'm always here for a game where you're playing as the cat. That's for sure.
That one looked good. I also liked it was at that Kena Bridge of Spirits. Mm-hmm. That one was pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
And then what was it? So Goodbye Volcano High looked interesting. It looks like I basically watching a cartoon. And then, of course, we have to talk about Bugsnax.
We do have to talk about Bugsnax because that song was very catchy. But when I hear that Bugsnax song, all I can hear, because I saw a tweet and now all I hear is butt sex. When I hear that song, instead of hearing Bugsnax, but I think butt sex. But so like, and now it's going to happen to you too next time you hear that song. So well, you're welcome.
I thought like when I first saw it, I was like, was this like a Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs game? I mean, like, what is this? Because it looks very similar to that premise, but then it gets weird.
It's, so,
you know, I don't know.
So overall, you know, trying to tie this up so we can move on to other big announcements in the week. Overall, like, how did you feel about, because this was a different format. This was a different way of doing this information. How did you feel about what Sony brought to the table this week? Anybody?
It was good, except for Godfall. I can't get excited about that game, but everything else looked pretty cool. I just wish there was more of it. I kind of missed the you know, overwhelming amount of information during E3 week.
I kind of like, I really liked though, and I think the best thing about this, which not a lot of people are talking about, is just that this was a bullshit free, well, I shouldn't say bullshit free, but they really like the method of how they had to do this. Not that I'm saying COVID is a great thing by any means, absolutely not. But PlayStation having to adjust things because of COVID, like, this was, like, the tightest, like, bullshit-free presentation I've ever seen them do. It was such a contrast to the year that they only had 4 games to show at E3 and they were moving people from room to room for some type of, like, artistic experience or something. Like, this was just game, 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 game. And I think that's what a lot of people want to see. And I kind of applaud their approach because I thought it was well done. And I think even more than the Microsoft event a couple weeks ago, we saw more gameplay. We saw, you know, we didn't see it for every game, but we saw enough of a taste of this is what the machine's actually going to look like in motion, you know, and got a sense of that. And so I kind of applaud it. And I noticed, I don't know if you guys noticed, but I certainly noticed a lot of the protagonists, a lot of the characters in the games, we had a pretty welcoming diverse lineup of characters in these games that were featured, and I was very happy to see it. So I don't know, was it just me? I thought there was a pretty good mix in there. So
yeah, definitely.
All right, well, let's move on and talk about the PC gaming show. So Loki, I didn't even watch, I just read some of the headlines, but Loki, what were your thoughts on the PC gaming show?
I also didn't watch it too much or at all. I was just catching some of the different highlights that they had. So one of the things I was excited about and looks really different than the last one was, what is it? It's, I'm trying to find the Surgeon Simulator 2. So that one looks really weird. It's co-op this time, plus there's an element of like, you can build your own surgery rooms and stuff like that, and then it looks like there's like almost like an adventure mode or something like that that you are solving puzzles with people, but it's just all sorts of crazy. So that looked pretty neat. Some of the other stuff that they showed that looked interesting, Proteus always looks good. That's that kind of retro looking shooter game. I don't know, Icarus kind of neat looking. It's, I don't know, a lot of survival games, but yeah, Icarus, I guess that's the one that was, oh, so that's the one that's, that was by the folks that did DayZ. So it's a survival game where it's like you're on a different planet, you land there. And so, neat looking. I don't know. This is not a lot. The PC game showcase was never one that I would always get excited about. I guess one of the exciting things though, if you're a fan of the series, Torchlight 3 was out on Steam that day, so that was a pretty cool announcement. Other than that, I mean, I don't know.
I was excited about Torchlight 3. That's for sure. But then I started seeing some of the like reception to it and some of the, not that I want to listen to user reviews, but a lot of people are kind of saying, boy, it kind of feels like it was a free to play game that was shifted around a little bit. But I'm gonna wait until it's a little further on, because it is in early access. So let's cut it a little slack. I want to see what it looks like a little further along. But generally, I'm excited about Torchlight 3. So.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like I said, I missed that, the whole presentation for that. It's typically one that I do normally miss anyways. So I don't know. Not a huge deal for me, but I'm sure there's a lot of stuff out there for folks that are fans of PC gaming. A lot of this stuff, especially when it comes down to like some of these simulation games and everything, I just don't play a lot of the strategy sim games. But I mean, I know there's a Surgeon Simulator 2 I'm definitely excited for, especially if they, I'm hoping that they get VR in that as well. And then I'm sure that'll come to console at some point. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Did you actually watch the PC gaming thing, or did you just kind of sift through what was announced like I did?
I sifted through it.
Yeah, because I was kind of curious, because, you know, that show has never gotten a good review since the year it started. So I was kind of curious if they were, I mean, I don't know, chat? Did anybody in chat take a look at it? Because I'm kind of curious.
I forgot about it.
I know, right? Like, it was, I totally forgot. That's the problem with this year, is that with not everything being this week, I can't keep track of what's when, because it's all over the map. You know what I mean? It used to be like, oh, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and all day we'll have some announcements. It's kind of, yeah, it's kind of hard to stay on top of it. That's for sure. All right.
But yeah, Proteus looks amazing. So that one is, that one's like kind of, it's a, imagine if you will, Doom running in a Doom engine with like modern effects and lighting and everything. So it looks pretty awesome in that sense. It's got a really unique looking style to it.
Okay.
And then there was yet another, and I think it's a completely new game as well, because there's been several that have come out or been announced already, but I thought that there was a third rhythm shooter game that they had out there now. So it's like three games almost in the same genre that's brand new. I don't remember what that was called, though, but I know there's at
least
two.
Was it Hellsinger? Because that's in our next batch of news, is the Hellsinger.
No, not Hellsinger. It was... something metal. I don't remember what it's called, but there's like three different games that kind of have that same mechanic to them now. It's like everyone came up with the idea at the same time.
Well, let me move on into some of the other announcements from this week, because there were a spattering of other things that were announced during the week as well. And one of the ones I definitely want to get into, because I was really excited to see this and it kind of came out of nowhere. And I imagine Darksoccer has got to be feeling some kind of way about this, but that is the Alex Kidd in Miracle World Deluxe or DX that they showed. Did you see this, Darksoccer?
Yes, I did. I'm pretty happy about it.
Me too, because it looks like the Wonder Boy Dragon's Trap thing that they did. Where you can, and that was really good, and you can switch really easily with like a button in between the newer mode and the retro mode and so forth, and I thought it looked so cool. I'm very happy about this.
Yeah, I thought it looked really good. I mean, we are definitely looking into, of course, picking it up, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. I was really excited about that. Let's see, some other games that were announced as well. They talked more about Bloodstained and what that has in store for it for the rest of 2020. They're continuing development on that game. I think one other thing I want to mention for sure is the arcade 1-Up machines, because I know some people are getting into collecting those. And we know that they're going to have pinball. We knew that was coming, but they unveiled a Marvel pinball table that they're doing. They're also doing a Ms. Pac-Man cabinet and compilation. They're also doing an X-Men versus Street Fighter cabinet that will include Marvel versus Street Fighter and Marvel versus Capcom. That's going to be a highly desirable one, I'm sure. And they're doing a Big Buck Hunter cabinet for, you know, that crowd.
That's actually pretty cool. Like the gun cabinets, that opens the door for like, hey, can we get like a Time Crisis, or can we get House of the Dead cabinet?
Point Blank.
Or Point Blank. Here, I'll take a Time Crisis / Point Blank game. And maybe those are a little bit more to emulate. But like, I'm surprised. Well, I guess, you know, the stuff that they had in there, because Marvel or just Capcom, that's not CPS 2, I don't believe. I don't know. I'm excited to see like the different things that they're going to have available for that stuff. So I'm curious more of these like unique cabinets that come out.
I do want to quickly say this as well on the arcade one up front. So y'all know that my birthday, well, maybe you don't know, but I'm going to tell you, my birthday's coming up at the end of the month. This year's been a little crazy. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do something crazy for my birthday and buy myself something stupid. So guess what, y'all? I bought the Burger Time cabinet. So next time when we are able to get together in person again, I will have a Burger Time one-up cabinet in the arcade one-up cabinet in the house. And I'm actually really psyched about it. So there is that.
Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Loki,
what other games are on there?
It's Bad Dudes. Cause it's like a Data East Karate Champ. And I think there's one other one. So it's like a Data East cabinet. Yeah. It's Bad Dudes will be cool too. Anything else, other announcements, Loki, that we wanted to touch on from that list, or should we move on?
I think we can probably move on.
All right, let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week, amongst all these announcements. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
Animal Crossing.
What are your goals?
And Pattern.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut off, but I'm just curious, like, what do you, because, like, I've mentioned on the show before, I'm getting to that point where I'm like, I feel like I'm running out of things to do in Animal Crossing. What do you kind of like, what is your goals in Animal Crossing, I guess? How do you keep yourself motivated in that game?
I don't have any goals. I just play and wander around because it's relaxing.
It's kind of a Zen thing. Okay.
You don't have to have a goal for something to be fun.
No, I guess that's true. I guess it's more like, you know, what motivates you to turn on the power every day, but relaxing, escaping. I'm sure you do a lot of hanging with friends and stuff. I mean,
sometimes I just really prefer doing the run around and, you know, being kind of by myself for a bit. And
yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
Okay. And then I'm sorry, yeah. You said Puzzled or what was the other game?
Oh, no. Patterned. A bunch of new puzzles for Patterned got released. The Apple Arcade. I mean, you can buy it, but I'm playing through Apple Arcade. And I super like it. It's very relaxing. Gets my mind off of stuff and usually helps me regain some of my focus when I'm having a really bad time.
Nice.
It's good. I'll try to put it on camera for a little bit while y'all are talking, but that's really all I've been playing.
Okay. Then if that's it for Dark Sakura, Loki, how was your gaming week?
It was mainly Minecraft Bedrock. Still playing a lot on our realm and doing a lot of stuff there. So I ended up building an automatic slime farm, which involved me digging out an entire chunk of space. That's 16 by 16 blocks. And then I'd say dug down at least, gosh, like 80. So that took a very long time. Plus, when you constantly have slime spawning on you, that was not fun. But I finished that today, so that was good. And then just more kind of playing around with that with the kids. And then I played a little bit of Orna this week, and that's about it.
I have also been playing a crap ton of Orna, which, of course, we've talked about the game many times on this show, but it's like the real world, but it's very, very inspired by an 8-bit RPG. But I finally got the 2 million orns it takes to unlock one of the higher level classes. Oh, my God, that took forever. And now I'm looking at, like, the next batch is, like, 3.5 million, 3. And I'm just 5. Like...
It's like, oh, no.
Oh, my God. But at least, oh, my God, it has made my survivability so much better. Like, I don't die in one hit anymore. It takes at least 3 hits to kill me now. So there's that. And then I've been continuing in Xenoblade. I'm probably about 10 hours in with Xenoblade, which means I've barely made any progression because that game is forever. No, I'm in Chapter 5, for anybody that knows that game, and I'm enjoying it. And that's kind of like my... you know, kind of like finding your game to kind of like chill out to right now. Like Xenoblade's been good for that because there's so many, like if I don't want to do the main story, there's so many side quests and things to do. I feel like I could play that game for like 3 minutes and still feel like I did something because I did one of the side quests in the game, which a lot of RPGs can't really claim that. So that's one thing I'm finding that I really like about Xenoblade and why I think the Switch is a great system for that to be on, you know, despite all the weird releases that game has had previously. And now I understand a little better as well why it came out on the 3DS. And I know I was more upset about the whole new 3DS versus old 3DS thing, but I understand a lot more now why that game made a good 3DS candidate. So I will concede that years later for what it's worth. And then otherwise, I still am playing Animal Crossing because Alan is still very, like, you know, does a lot, and I help him out, and, you know, like, my turnip prices were lower than his this morning, so he came over. Oh, my prices spiked. I finally was the popular girl this week because I had the $4.70 turnip price, and all I had to do was make a post on my Facebook. I didn't even get around to doing groups. I had friends that I didn't even know played Animal Crossing that were like, can I come sell?
I didn't even see your post. Dan told me.
Oh yeah, because Dan saw it. Dan was the first person to comment.
You want to know what?
What?
The next day I could have sold for $6.70.
Oh, that's always. It's so hard to determine. It's like the stock market. When do I buy?
Stonks.
When do I sell? Yeah, right.
Stonks.
So, but yeah, I had a lot of people come through. To buy for that. I just pretty much left my Switch on, and I wanted to make sure that it wasn't going to be flooded with people. And I think that's one reason I really tried to make sure my friends would get through first, because, like, I was able to, like, it was at most, I think, like, three people were there at one point. And I think that was actually when you were there, Jamie. Like, I think my buddy Abra was there, and one other might have showed up there when you were there, and that was it. Like, you know, that was, yeah. So
that's the other thing.
One of the things, like, when I open up for anything like that, is I just flat out say, because, you know, I've got my big group. All I do is say, send me a message, and I'll let you in. And I don't let more than four in at one time because I hate having it interrupted when I'm in the middle of something.
Yeah. And I know there's websites that facilitate that as well, and I could have used, like, Turnip Exchange or something, but I feel like there's something more personal about, like, hey, message me and – you know, that's, I don't need a 99,000 bell tip. I mean, I won't say no, but I don't need it. I just have an excuse to say hi to me. You know what I mean? So, yeah. All right. As far as other games that I've been playing this week, you know, same old's on the PC. Been playing Final Fantasy 14 still. And, just keeping myself entertained with that. So we will move on to some longer news here. So let's get to our first story tonight. Outside, I mean, we've already talked a lot tonight, but our first maybe non-press conference story. It has to do with leaks, right, Logie?
Yeah, so I was actually going to mention, too, real quick, since you brought up the Switch. So our Switch at home, the SD card slot is jacked up.
Oh, no.
And that's probably because... it's because their design of how they designed the whole system is really stupid. They've got the board that has the micro SD card. It's just, there's like a little connector that's just held in by pressure and doesn't snap in or anything. And so that originally was loose and it was causing it to not work all the time. Now it just doesn't work at all. So I ordered a replacement. At least it's only $20 to fix it, but it's still super annoying that I've had to repair so many things on this Switch already. Anyway, so that aside, let's talk about leaks. So, earlier this week, Star Wars Squadrons had a wonderful little banner that appeared on the Xbox store and basically leaked that, hey, there's a new Star Wars game coming. And, of course, because of that, now EA has announced that, yes, there will be a reveal trailer that's going to be coming at 8 p.m. Pacific time on June 15th. So you can check that out. But it does look like it's going to be kind of... similar to the X-Wing TIE Fighter series. So I don't know if it's mainly like kind of a flight sim game, but it looks interesting. So I guess we'll check that out tomorrow when that comes out. And then also with that as well, there was a listing for UFC 4 on the PlayStation 4 patch database. So apparently EA is having all sorts of trouble keeping their secrets this week, but I guess we'll expect some announcements soon. They've got their EA play event, I think, pretty soon. That's supposed to be at the end of this week on the 18th. So I guess we'll see all those announcements officially then.
All right. Yeah, I know the EA thing is coming up. So, yeah, more stuff in the next week. But leaks are an inevitable part of E3, aren't they?
Yes. It's almost like we're in real E3 again.
All right, except it's faux E3. Anyway.
Faux E3, yeah.
So before we move on to the next story, Dark Sakura, I know you've got work things going on tomorrow, and I'm sorry you can't stay longer tonight. But I know you wanted to say goodnight and all that good stuff. So thank you for being here, as always. Any parting words for our audience tonight?
Well, just in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be back on a much easier to deal with schedule. So this won't last too much longer that I have to pop out early, and I just have things I need to take care of before work tomorrow. So sorry about it.
All right. Sounds good. It's always good to have you here, even if just for a little bit, Dark Sakura. We look forward to a couple of weeks when we can keep you here till midnight.
Just kidding. Trust me, that's coming right at the beginning of, I think it's actually starting next month. It's starting August. I'm so stupid, but still. It is what it is.
No worries. All right. Well, be sure to say hello to our chatters, because there's a lot of kind words for you out there in chat. So take care, my friend, and have a great night.
You too. Love y'all, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Bye. All right. So meanwhile, let me go to the next story here. And the video may look a little funky for you guys. As soon as Dark Sakura disconnects, it's going to mess up my Discord layout. But just bear with me. I'll fix it as soon as I can. But I want to get to the next story here that has to do with, unfortunately, some more Nintendo accounts have been breached. This is in addition to what we heard about before, but apparently another 140,000 accounts were breached in April. Nintendo, of course, already earlier, probably about a month ago, talked about that 160,000 accounts were breached in a hack, and they've added another 140,000 to that total. So that's about 300,000 accounts. Although Nintendo's kind of trying to say now, well, that's only 1% of all the Nintendo network users. All right, whatever. The moral of the story is, whether you're part of this 1% or not, make sure you change your Nintendo password. That's probably a good idea. Make sure your Nintendo password is not your bank password or your email password. Like, you really should have a separate email for everything, but at least your bank and your email. Because without those two things, you're going to be really unhappy. Like, I can live without Nintendo for a little bit while I get it fixed. I can't live without the other two. So just make sure you're using unique passwords there. I'm not hearing, maybe there's more details if I dig through this announcement, except it's in the Japanese site, so I don't know like what all the specifics are, but I'm not sure like why they just suddenly found more. Did you hear anything on that, Loki?
Know why they found more. I know originally when they were talking about the original leaks, it was supposed to be like a smaller subset of the users. I don't know if it's because, you know, other sites were like compromised and maybe they found that, you know, the passwords from that other people have used. I don't know how they may have figured it out, but it's weird that we're finding out more of these coming out. So now, you know, 300,000 accounts total. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. So I guess we'll find out, or maybe they just won't tell us how they figured that out, but I don't know. I don't like when it trickles out like that, because that's kind of like that whole, Equifax stuff. It's like, oh yeah, it was only this many. Okay, and it's this many. Or Facebook. It's like, it was only like half a billion. Okay, no, 1 billion.
Or the Yahoo email. Actually, it was everybody on the whole fucking site.
It was all of them.
It was the whole goddamn site. Anyway, very good point by SSG100 Matt in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. SSG100 Matt says, sign up for the two-factor authentication. Word. Two-factor authentication is great. And pretty much any bank, I mean, maybe local banks don't use it, or I can't speak for every credit union in the world, but just about every big bank has a two-factor auth available at this point. And certainly all of the major email providers have two-factor auth. And seriously, use it. You'll thank me later. Although I'm sure many people listening to this show are already doing that, right?
I would hope so.
All right. Now Jamie was going to talk about this, for us, but we ran long a little bit here. So I don't know. I've heard a little, I've heard a little bit about this, Loki. I'll try to hit on the big points here, and you can help me fill in the gaps. But Warner Brothers Interactive, who also is over Rocksteady, which is Batman Arkham, and they're also over NetherRealm, which is Mortal Kombat, apparently they're up for sale. I had no idea that they were something that was being put on the market, but apparently the parent company of Warner, AT&T, is talking about a big sale. AT&T got Time Warner for $109 billion in 2018. This was a part of that. Obviously, Time Warner is much more than a game developer, right? Right? Yeah. How many movies have you seen with the Warner Brothers logo in the beginning? Or they're a big cable provider as well, right? So they're a big, big company. Games is one part of that. But investors have been saying, hey, Warner, you need to sell off some of your like non-core business, which for, I guess, the games, for whatever reason, fall into that. Anyway, some of the suitors that have expressed interest, the ones you would expect, EA and Blizzard, Activision Blizzard, excuse me, have expressed interest, as well as Take-Two Entertainment, have all expressed interest in possibly buying the game division. But nothing has been finalized yet. So, apparently, IPs that are movie IPs that tie into games, so like the Batman IP, the Harry Potter IP, are not inherently a part of the deal, but they could still be part of licensing. And if I'm not mistaken, EA has made Harry Potter games in the past.
They have.
For so all the movies. They can license that or work that out. But just because they buy Warner doesn't mean they're going to automatically get Batman and Harry Potter and the things that tie into the Warner movie side of things. So these types of sales and business are complicated, to say the least.
Yeah, and I don't think it matters which studio purchases them because, I don't know, all big AAA studios nowadays are kind of shitty anyway. So I guess it doesn't matter. Which one should we, which one should we pick?
Well, and it would just be a matter of how much are they allowed to run independently as well, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess if I was going to pick one of the three or the least, favorite of the three, I would say EA, only because of their track record of taking studios and then closing them down after they've milked them to death. So I would rather have, you know, Activision or Take-Two in that sense. But who knows?
I'm laughing because I'm very happy that Mr. Smush has a friend in who loves to whine when the microphone's hot.
Like every single time. Like, and she's always screaming in here.
Chat, that's not Smush. Literally. That's not Smush.
No, that's Stella. You know, quite literally comes in the room and starts yelling all the time. Not because she doesn't have food. She literally has her kibble with a can of soft food on top of it. So I don't know what she's complaining about. And now she's going back to eat. She just like lets us know that, hey, I'm in the room. I'm unhappy for some reason.
Smush heard his name. But, so hey. Alan brought him in for cameo. There you go. That's what you get. He didn't like getting picked up. All right. Anyway, and the chat is lighting up. Smush, smush, smush. Okay. Anyway, let's move on. Loki, what do you have for us next?
All right, so the Sims players are holding virtual Black Lives Matter rallies. So there's a modder and streamer, Danielle Ebonic Sims. I can't pronounce the last name. They started an in-game Black Lives Matter rally apparently last weekend, and it's been still going strong for a while. Neat. I mean, I guess everybody's been doing different types of things. I remember we talked about NBA 2K last week with giving out some of the different skins and stuff for that. There's people holding protests and that. So it's kind of cool to see people expressing themselves in different games.
This is also where like your player base is coming up with this, and it's not necessarily something like in the cases we were talking about last week. You had publishers and developers that were putting the message into the games, which is great. This is something that's very organic that's grown out of the player base, and so we see this in The Sims. And although I don't have an example in front of me, I would be hard pressed to believe that this isn't happening in games like World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy. Actually, I feel like there was a parade in Final Fantasy at some point recently.
Maybe, where
I'm just trying to, I don't want to misappropriate it to this particular movement when it's not. But we have seen that these games are capable of that from their communities. And so seeing that grow into, 'cause there's a lot of people that don't that they want to protest, but for whatever reason, they're not able to physically be out there protesting. And that could be because of physical needs. That could be because of COVID and COVID and immunocompromised individuals and so forth. So I feel like the digital protests are a great way for people to kind of participate without when they're not able to participate out there in the real world, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody kind of has their own different ways of, you know, the activism and so forth. And certainly, you know, a movement like this, a protest in The Sims, it gets people's attention. And like here we are talking about it. Here it is, a story running across all the gaming blogs this week. You know, we talk about things that are on Twitter and on gaming blogs and so forth. So it is succeeding in that element. So I think it's pretty cool to watch that stuff. So,
yeah.
All right. SSG 100 Matt says, I remember seeing stories of funerals for players on WoW and Final Fantasy. Yeah. And that's, you know, again, the community coming together for, you know, in this case, the players that have deceased. But I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, we talked about this last week as well, too. People doing activism in Animal Crossing, changing town flags, doing screenshots of their own types of activism and so forth. You know, everybody's got their different way. So it's interesting to see how video games, you know, again, if you want to say video games are art, it's interesting to see how this this movement is creating these new types of artistic expression. And it's pretty cool. So. All right. And we will mention it later in the show as well. But, you know, we're still going to, because this whole movement is far from over. So please continue to pay attention to the bottom ticker bar. We do have some resources there for you guys if you are interested in learning more about it or you're interested in making a donation to the Black Lives Matter movement. There is some information that scrolls on the bottom of the screen. Also, we'll mention it again later in the show, but there's like 48 hours left or something like that in that itch.io bundle. So if you're like, what is like one easy thing I as a gamer can do right now? Well, here's a good start. So there's that. I mean, don't let that be your only thing, but here's a good start, is that itch.io bundle is still available for like 48 more hours, and probably I'm giving it too much time with that, and that's a great thing. And if you can spare it, don't just give $5 for like 1,500 games. See if you can at least double it, you know, $10. Maybe you can do 20, 25.
Or to it. I mean, it's great, mm-hmm. And if you've already purchased it, then you get those as well. So, but like, gosh, I can't imagine like all the things to play in that. It's just amazing.
Hype Mayhem in chat asks a good question that is worth bringing up. And that is, okay, stupid question time. Isn't the whole point of a protest to make your stance known to politicians and or police? An in-real-life protest does that since it's visible. Won't the in-game protest not be visible to politicians and cops? It's not always just about that crowd of the politicians and the decision makers. I mean, certainly that's an important part of it. But I think a big part of that is also each other and that visibility with each other. We talked a little bit about this last week, and that is that I think part of the importance of being an ally is being able to talk to other people in positions of privilege about what is going on and why they should care. Because Black people generally are tired of having to do so. So that's why allies need to step up and have those difficult conversations, because we are in a position with privilege to be able to do that. So that being said, it's not just about police and politicians. It's about spreading the message with each other. And I think the protests that we see in these games are getting the attention. I mean, we just mentioned it's all over video game blogs and all of this now. It is getting attention of a crowd that may otherwise not be paying enough attention to what is going on or have the privilege to be able to, I'm not paying attention to this. This is too much. I don't care about what's going on. Well, the reason why, and you may not like that word privilege, but the reason why we use that word is because you have the privilege to be able to do that. You have the privilege to be able to turn it off. Not everybody gets to turn it off. And that's the point. So something to think about. So anyway, but I think that was a very fair question. And, you know, there you go. That's the answer. It's about bringing at least from my perspective, I'm sure other folks would have answers as well, but it's about bringing visibility to each other and not just those in a position of power. But real quickly, and I know when we get to the next story, but we are also in a day and age where more and more politicians are gamers too. Like, we all know AOC's playing Animal Crossing and stuff like that, right? I'm sure she's not the only politician who happens to be a gamer and read game. In fact, no, I know she's
I'm sure not.
We had that one politician who was fraudulently spending money on Steam. So you have all sorts of gamers out there in politics. But my point is that, you know, as we spread the message to each other, it gets to the decision makers. It gets to the politicians because, again, part of that continued activism is saying something both at the ballot box and to your representatives. So there you go. And there's some there's some good comments in chat that kind of follow that as well. Fifth Dream Today says it got publicity. It's noticed by people who say the stuff on the web. It could change minds. Questbuster says they keep the protests visible and continue to raise awareness, which is still an important part of the message. A few streamers even did Black Lives Matter charity streams. Yeah. So and thank you for the kind words about me summing it up there. I'm always like, God, I don't want to get this wrong, but I try to speak from here where I can, and usually that leads me to the right answer. All right, let's move on. We got more stories for you, including news about a Skyrim mod that's going way beyond just being a mod anymore. So for Skyrim, there is a mod out there called The Forgotten City, I believe is the name of it. And it is a Skyrim mod that has, you know, gotten a lot of achievements and praise and so forth. Apparently it even won a Writers Guild of America award. I had no
idea. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
How did that happen? That's cool though. It is now being its own game. So it's no longer going to be like dependent on Skyrim, and it's going to launch this winter. So The Forgotten City has gotten a lot of props in the Elder Scrolls community for having its own rich story experience. The developer is Modern Storyteller. The publisher is Dear Villagers. And they're talking about a mature narrative-driven game with this. And the trailer actually debuted as part of the PC gaming show. So I know we didn't discuss it earlier, but I think it's important to point out, hey, this was born as a mod for Skyrim. Just like 50 Shades of Grey was born from Twilight fanfic. It's just like that, right, Loki?
Let's just compare it to maybe like, you know, say Dota 2 or okay. something else, you know?
I like that. Loki's like, maybe that's not the comparison we want to use right now. Okay. All right. I'll give you that.
This is going to be good versus, you know, okay. 50 yeah. Shades of Grey, which was terrible.
Okay. Team Fortress 2 was born of a Quake mod. All right. How about that? There much better?
Go. Yeah.
Much better. All right.
I'll take that.
Okay. But anyway, so here we have another example of a modded game turning into its own game. And it's going to be out this winter. And I think that's pretty cool. So.
Yeah. I'm very excited to check it out.
Me too. And hopefully no one takes an arrow to the knee in that game. Because that line's played out.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on. Dark Sakura was going to talk about this next story, and I think I'm going to save it for, because that's not something that it is necessarily time sensitive, even though the story came out this week. And she asked us to go ahead and skip the classic game of the week this week. I don't know. Are we able to just like find something on the fly, Loki? Unfortunately, the news this week was so top heavy, we weren't able to get to where Dark Sakura could do her classic game of the week. So now we're in this odd predicament where we don't have a game of the week, but then I feel like, how can we go a week on the show and not do a classic game segment? So we need to kind of pick something live, I think, that we haven't done before. Can we do that?
I mean, anything's possible. Like, I know at one time when we were doing classic game, or I was picking one, there was a lot of backup, like, oh yeah, that'd be great. Let's save that for another day, you know, type of things.
Wait a minute. You have Megazeus in the background all night. Now you have Pokemon.
Have
we done Megazeus? Damn it.
We've done Megazeus. I thought we did
DZT. So
it's pretty close. I mean,
let me think. Thinking on the fly here. What about, and the other thing is, we've had so many games I don't want to duplicate something. You know what I mean? Like, we've picked so many games in the past. I worry if I'm going to pick something, I'm going to duplicate it. So I'm trying to think. I'm using my brain, and I'm trying to go way into the archives of my brain and come up with a game. Like, maybe something I've been playing on AntStream or something.
I have one, and I know I do have one if you want to do it.
Okay, otherwise, I actually see a suggestion in chat I could go with, to be honest. Because I don't think we've ever talked about this game, and it is something I could talk about memories for.
Okay, we can do that. I was going to pick Derby Owners Club.
Oh, Jamie will be so mad if we do that without her.
Oh, yeah, that's right, we can't do that.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's a good pick. All right, I'm going to do the one that's chat picked, okay?
Okay, fine.
Okay, let me hurry up. I'm going to bring up Safari here and find a YouTube clip of it real quick, because this is a game I totally remember, and somebody in the chat just picked this. You said it in chat, and I was like, oh, hell yeah, that game. Okay, hold on. I'm trying to get to the YouTube. Okay, so this game I'm picking because I have memories of this game, and it was kind of like it was kind of scary. And I'm not sure all my memories of this game were necessarily good, because I remember being scared as hell by this game because it was almost like a boo gotcha type of thing. But the classic game I'm going to pick is Jurassic Park on the Super Nintendo. So, oops, and I hit the wrong button, and now we don't have Safari. Gotta love doing it live here. Okay, let me try this one more time. So Jurassic Park on the Super Nintendo was a game that was made by Ocean, and it was a tie-in to the, of course, the movie of the same name. And it was interesting because it was like you had this overworld, like 2.5D, and for those watching on Twitch, you had this overworld 2.5D mode where you're walking around and, you know, trying to make your way through the park because you're trying to escape and so forth. And then you had these segments of the game where you would actually go into pens, and it was actually like a first person game, which for the Super Nintendo at the time was very, very like rare. You didn't see a lot of, because you know the Super Nintendo was all like sprite driven graphics, so this was kind of a hard thing to kind of drive on a console. But first person games, like this game came out in an era when like Doom and Wolfenstein and all that shit was the rage. So I think this was kind of like to respond to that in some ways. It's like, hey, we can do a first-person shooter as well, except it was with a game like Jurassic Park, which is almost kind of crazy in a weird way. So anyway, this game came out in – it was actually out in the UK first, and probably because it was developed over there by Ocean Software. And it was released in October of 93, but it came out here in North America just like weeks after that. And then it actually came out in Japan in June the next year. So it did see a worldwide release there. And you are playing as Dr. Grant. And you are, of course, the park is overrun by dinosaurs. You have various weapons that you use to help combat the different dinosaurs. And then there's also ways that other characters in the game can communicate with you. Like you probably saw those little like poles and signs that people were talking through and so forth. And then, yeah, the other like not so great things about this game, there was no password feature in this game. So if you couldn't beat this game in one sitting, then you were screwed. It was like Rygar on the NES in that fashion. So yeah, there was no saves or any of that. Yeah, you can, I'm sure if you really wanted to see somebody beat this game start to finish, there's playthroughs available now. I really want somebody to get to the first person part of this. I was hoping they'd get to it. Let me see. I'm going to, for those that are watching on Twitch, I'm going to do a little hunt and pecking in this video here. Oh, there we go. Cause I can see a little preview. There we go. Here's some of the scary first person stuff where now he's actually in one of the, and you see, it's very inspired by like Wolfenstein 3D. And then one of those dinos comes out, rawr, is going to get you. And you got to love how it's like paired. So the story behind it is it's night vision goggles. But what they're doing is that notice how it's a very small area of the screen relatively compared to the other game footage we saw earlier. And that allows it to run at an acceptable frame rate on the Super Nintendo, which still isn't great.
if you'll remember back to like the good old days of Wolfenstein 3D. Yeah. That was one of the options that they had, screen size, and like you could shrink that thing down to like the size of a penny, and it would run really fast because it's rendering less area. But yep, that's why.
Yeah. Oh, boo! Right. Dinosaur came out of nowhere there. So, yeah, no, it's very that. It's very like Doom sized down to like half the screen so you could play it on an older machine. That's what Jurassic Park looked like on the Super Nintendo. But it was cool because there was nothing like it on the Super Nintendo. Like, the only other thing I can think of was like Faceball 2000. You remember when that game was getting a lot of hype? And it's like that game was kind of fucking garbage. Like, the only reason people were into it was because it was first person, and that was a new novel thing that was like just coming out in the 90s, like around 94 when this game came out, was right around when Doom was coming out and all of that. So, oh, and here's the sequence where you really do have night vision goggles and everything is tinted green. It's kind of a cool effect. Now, one thing I think is notable about this as well is that it used it was like a surround sound type of game. And I remember that logo being on the screen when you would launch the game. And it was because of these sequences. You could hear the dinosaurs moving on the left channel or the right channel, which might not sound like a big deal in this day and age because, you know, now that's. But like, again, in 94, like full stereo in your games was a new thing. And especially in these more intense sequences, if you will, where you are in the first person mode. Very different, by the way. I want to point out the Super Nintendo version of this game, very different than the Genesis version. They have hardly anything in common.
Different.
Completely different developers, different ideas. So I think that's a very important, because like you might be thinking, I played Jurassic Park and it is nothing like what Rob is talking about. That's because the Super Nintendo and the Genesis games were very different. I think the Genesis one was generally better received, but the Super Nintendo, I don't think it was really received well by critics because of some of these drawbacks I've talked about already. But I also feel like it's one of those things. Oh, it's going to play an ad, so I'm just going to go back to that.
I was going
to
say, and I don't know if you noticed, but like it mentioned that you can click the left or right mouse button. That's because it supported the mouse that came with Mario Paint.
It did support that. And I was trying to. There was something about the Super FX chip as well. They were replicating the effects of the chip in the Super Nintendo hardware. That's what they were saying about developing the game. So this game, even though I don't think it was critically like well received, I still feel like you look at chat, like, you know, since I brought up this game, there's a lot of people in chat that are like, heck yeah, this game, I remember this game, oh yeah, and this stuff. So I feel like maybe like a cult type of video game, like the people that played it remember it because it was so like, I mean, it tied into like what was the biggest movie of the decade, probably. Well, until because Titanic was 99, so maybe that. But still, like, it tied in not just to that nostalgia, but like all these different type of things you weren't really seeing in other games. So I think for those reasons, it's notable as a classic game, especially for something that we are completely pulling out of our ass tonight. Well, thanks to the help of chat, because Azette was the one that shouted that. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that one. So. That's a good pick. Here it is, your classic game of the week. Presto. Rob's choice with the help of chat. Jurassic Park on the Super Nintendo. So we'll get the actual game that Dark Sakura had intended to do tonight. We'll do that next week. We'll roll that over. Fifth Dream today in chat says, pulled out of your Jurassic. Yes, I like that. Good, good, good. All right, let's move on and do some rapid fire news. Loki.
All right, so let's talk a little about what's coming to Game Pass in the month of June. So the first notable thing is that you're getting a lot of Kingdom Hearts. So yes, get your Kingdom Hearts ready. So you've got Birth by Sleep, Kingdom Hearts 1 Final Mix, Rechain of Memories, 358/2 days, Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Mix, Birth by Sleep Final Mix, Recoded, Dream Drop Distance, HD, Birth by Sleep, and A Fragmentary Passage. And then, of course, Kingdom Hearts X Back Cover. And then, along with Kingdom Hearts, you're going to be getting Bard's Tale Remastered and Re-Snarkled on console and PC. Battlefleet Gothic Armada 2 on PC. Battletech on PC. Looks like Dungeon of the Endless on console and PC. And then, let's see, No Man's Sky on console and PC. And finally, Thronebreaker on console. So those are all going to be out by the end of this week.
Real quick, I knew I forgot something during my gaming week, and I want to enhance on this a little bit because I had cut the story because I intended to talk about it during my gaming week and then forgot. So one of the games, thanks to Game Pass, I played this week was I played No Man's Sky on Xbox. And so did I end up playing No Man's Sky on the on a third system for the third time? Yes, I did. So I bought the PlayStation 4 version. I bought the PC version so I could play with Alan because crossplay didn't exist back then. But then the big news this week, we have crossplay now. So I didn't have to do that. And now I played the Xbox version just because. I have Game Pass. Why the fuck not? Let's complete the trifecta. So I did play on Xbox, and I will say it was probably the worst of the three. Well, here's why. I have a regular Xbox One. I have a PlayStation 4 Pro. So to be fair,
that makes sense.
I imagine what I'm playing is the same thing that a regular PlayStation 4 user gets. But with the little extra oomph in the Pro, I'm seeing something a little better than the... And then, of course, my PC is in pretty good shape. So what I see there is really good. Like, that's probably the best of all of them. So that's the only reason. So if you have an Xbox One X... you will probably have a completely different experience. And it wasn't bad. Like, again, if you don't have No Man's Sky on any of the other systems and you have Game Pass, should you skip it on Xbox? Because I'm sitting here saying, no, get it. It's still worth your time, and it's a good game. It's just I definitely noticed, like, oh, the draw distance and some of the pop-ins, not quite as fluid as the other systems I played this on. But again, that is just because of my home setup. If your home setup includes an Xbox One X or a regular PlayStation 4 or something, you are not going to have these same issues that I had. So I say it's very well worth your time if you have Game Pass and you've never checked it out before. So anyway, cool. just wanted to throw that out there.
And then in other news, we've got a new RPG Maker coming. So RPG Maker MZ. Not much known about this yet, although there is a Steam page for it, and it's basically saying that looks like there's the requirements for it are a little bit more substantial. But other than that, don't really know what's exactly going to be involved with it. But, there are some details on it. So looks like they just mentioned like different, I don't know, a lot of this stuff mentions that they mentioned here looks like kind of like all the other ones. So they've got, you know, you can do a character generator, different events, map editor, the usual trappings of RPG Maker. I don't really, like I said, a lot of these, I couldn't tell you what the difference are between a lot of these different RPG Maker programs, but I'll be interesting to check it out, and hopefully it comes out of sale in Humble Bundle or something like that, because that's where I tend to buy all those, and then never use them.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Arcade Archives. You know, the Arcade Archives is a lot of the, some people out there going, the MAME games available on Nintendo Switch. But hello, they're in MAME because these are arcade cabinets and things in the 80s and 90s. So a lot of these old games have been re-released for the Switch and PlayStation 4 through this series known as Arcade Archives. Well, Arcade Archives released their 100th game this past week, and that was Sunset Riders. That's a big game people remember on the arcades. Big Konami game. It was one of those like Ninja Turtles, basically, but cowboys. Okay, that's what Sunset Riders was. Interesting to note, and maybe you guys. Okay, so you guys know, I will always sing a swan song and pour one out for Microsoft Game Room. Y'all remember my love for Microsoft Game Room on the Xbox 360. Do you know what the last game was they did in Microsoft Game Room?
Sunset Riders.
It was. There's a reason why I brought that up. So Sunset Riders is a landmark game in a couple of places here. So anyway, is the 100th Arcade Archives to be released. And there's some cool little art that Hamster, the company that's put it all together, has put out. Hamster's also pointing out, hey, there's official Nintendo releases in Arcade Archives. That's true. And still to this day, Super Mario Brothers Versus is like one of the best-selling Nintendo Switch games. You go to the top games that are released, that game is still there. So that's good. They've been having a lot of success with that, and I'm sure a lot of people will be looking for that Sunset Riders release as well. I already mentioned this a little earlier in the show. It's important. I'm going to mention it again. I do want to congratulate itch.io as their bundle for racial justice and equality has passed $6 million in donations. That is incredible. The indie developer scene has rallied together in a historic fashion, quite frankly. I don't know of any other bundle that's been this big or this monumentous. I mean, think about $6 million. That's two times what Summer Games Done Quick did in their record. And that's not, that is a hugely important thing that I would never speak ill of at all, but I'm trying to express the volume of what is happening here at itch.io. And that is like, they have doubled over what a Summer Games Done Quick would make with this bundle. 1500 items and counting in this bundle. One of the games they just added that I played last night for a little bit, Loki, this would have to be a fave of yours too. Cat Lateral Damage is in the bundle. Mm-hmm. So if nothing else,
yeah,
if the $14.99 other games don't speak to you, let that one speak. And trust me, there's plenty in here that will speak to you. Let that one do the talking, because I love Cat Lateral Damage.
I think I have
Damage.
That like three times over. So because I have it on PlayStation, which it supports VR, by the way, and I have it on Steam as well. So cool.
All right. Anyway, it ends Tuesday. All the money being raised going for the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund and the Community Bail Fund. So go head over to itch.io. It's, you can't miss it. It's right there front and center on the page. They're only asking $5 for it, but I bet you could spare 10, 15, maybe 20, maybe more. Who knows how you're feeling? And you could check out all those games and support a great cause. Who knows? Maybe we'll get it up to $7 million by Tuesday. Who knows? Anything's possible.
Probably. So, it's at 6.8 already.
Is it really? I was gonna say last night it was, because I admittedly I was like, oh yeah, I definitely need to get on that. So and a tweet reminded me, like, oh yeah, that's not gonna be around forever and you want to support those causes, so get on it. So I did that, and it was already at like 6.3 million. So I'm not surprised at all to hear it will probably hit seven by the time Tuesday comes around. So don't forget, y'all. Okay. Yeah, Questbuster in chat says the itch.io bundle also kept growing, which is amazing, from 700 something games to more than 1,000. Yeah, like, it's just like, the again, the indie developers have rallied together in a way.
There's Celeste in there. I mean, Celeste is an awesome game as well that you probably would know. And then one that I see a screenshot for here that I forgot all about, but I was following them when they were developing the game, was Sky Rogue, which is kind of like an old school flight sim action game. And I don't know, there's just so much good content in there that you should really pick it up.
2064 Read Only Memories got added recently to that bundle. There's so much. Octodad. So if you're like, if you want to see where Bug Snacks comes from, Octodad is in there. Unless you are absolutely broke and on a budget and cannot afford anything extra about that, you really owe it to yourself to kick some money in and support a good cause for one, but check out all of these amazing indie games as a two. So, all right. And yeah, Questbuster also points out there are assets in there. There are tools, tile sets, PDF, RPG books from indies. There are loops, musical loops, that got my attention as well.
There's board games. Hundreds of board games.
Mm-hmm. So, and all for a great cause. So, fantastic. All right, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates. Let's check out what's going to be coming to stores near you in the near future. So, Loki, how about the U.S.?
So, we've got Persona 4 Golden. That's coming out on PC. Actually, I'm sorry, that came out yesterday.
I think that was a surprise. It's today, yeah.
So, okay, so this week we've got Desperados 3, that's on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Disintegration on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. We've got Burnout Paradise Remastered on Nintendo Switch. And last but not least, The Last of Us Part 2 on PlayStation 4.
Ooh, we need to mention this at some point. Because this is everywhere, and for whatever reason, it wasn't in a story that we slotted in our show tonight. But Bobby talked about this on his show tonight, and I was like, oh yeah, this is the thing I've been reading about on Twitter. This is awesome. Have you heard about the accessibility settings in The Last of Us 2? It's like, it's setting a new standard. You, you can customize like everything in this game to meet your needs. They actually, because I saw, I don't know if Sturlock's still in chat, but I know he was in there during Bobby Blackwolf, and he was like, a friend of mine actually consulted on like a being able for a blind person to be able to play through this game, actually consulted so that somebody who's blind can play through The Last of Us 2. That is the level of accessibility settings. Where you want subtitles to be, how big they are, how little they are. Apparently, you can do things with the difficulty where it's like, if jump scares are going to be bad for you, you can like, and I'm like, oh my God, I consider myself somebody who's very fortunate to not usually have a need for accessibility settings in many games. But like, to take out jump scares kind of does, like, I don't like a lot of horror games because of jump scares. If I can get rid of that, it does make a game more accessible for me. So, like, I'm all about that. So I just have to give a wink and a nod and a smile to how out of their way it almost seems. But then now that you see it, it's like, gosh, I hope this becomes the norm. This company went with the accessibility features. So major props to The Last of Us Part II for that. So, all right. Anyway. Moving on to Japan and some of the releases over there. We have a lot of releases this week on June 18th, and I think it's because we've had a couple weeks with no releases, so we're finally getting caught up this week. Haru Kanaru Toki no Naka de 7 is coming out this week from Koei Tecmo in Japan. There's also Haruka Beyond the Stream of Time is also out as well. We also have a game called Variable Barricade is out as well. Mud Runner American Wilds. And this game we were talking about last week, the Namcot Collection, which is Namco, but when they were publishing in Japan in the early 80s, they were Namcot. That is out in Japan this week. That's the one with the demake of Pac-Man Championship Edition, which will come out in the States a little later. I'm sorry, I said those were all PlayStation 4 releases. Those are actually Switch titles. Sorry, I kind of switched up. So those are all Switch titles. But I imagine, yeah, on PlayStation 4, we're going to see a very similar story. Yeah, it's like all the same shit on PlayStation 4. However, we also have, of course, The Last of Us Part 2 also releasing in Japan this week. So there's that. They have a special PlayStation 4 Pro to go with that because we love our limited edition consoles there as well. Okay, Namcot Collection is exclusive to Switch. It is not in the PlayStation 4 releases. So I'm glad I made that clarification. Sorry, guys. All right, let's move on to the UK. Loki.
All right, so in the UK, we've got Desperados 3 coming out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Disintegration is coming out on PC. Looks like the Ease Memory of Celceta on PlayStation 4, Railway Empire on the Switch, Ion Fury on PlayStation 4 and the Switch, Mini Moto Racing X on PlayStation 4, Burnout Paradise Remastered on the Switch. They're also getting The Last of Us Part 2 as well on PlayStation 4.
All right.
And apparently, yeah, I just noticed that the Pokemon Sword and Shield expansion pass is coming out this week as well. So,
oh, yeah, that's right. That's a big deal, too. And that would be Japan, yeah. U.S., that's everywhere. Yes, yeah. I know our pal, friend of Orange Andreo here, Shane, who we talk about, one of my buddies I play Final Fantasy 14 with a lot. I know he is getting geared up for that. There's been a lot of events in the game with different shinies, and I know on his Twitter, and he talks to me about this too, he's been collecting some of the different, you know, Gigantamax and shinies and so forth, in anticipation of the DLC, which is apparently introducing some new Pokemon as well. I think there's a Galarian Slowbro, or the Evolve Slowking. One of those is getting a new Galarian form. So there are some new Pokemon coming out as well in the DLC, so that's pretty exciting. All right, yeah. This is the part of the show where we would open up the mailbag over at participate@orangeloungeradio.com. Although last I looked, just before showtime, we didn't have any emails. And I'm checking now. Because sometimes we get them right at the top of the show. No, none came in. So everybody was feeling a little quiet this week. That's okay. So participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send your emails that we will consider reading in a future week. In the meantime, we have a few more news stories for you guys to talk about. So, Loki.
Yes. So, there is a game that Ubisoft is developing called Gods and Monsters that accidentally was uploaded to Stadia. And apparently, of course, you know, it's not finished yet. So, one of the things, once downloaded, I guess, apparently you you could play a development build of the game, and they had temporary character models and assets that were from Assassin's Creed filling in as well. Basically said, regretfully, on Thursday morning, we mistakenly made an E3 2019 demo version of Gods and Monsters from Ubisoft available on the Stadia store, and that was not intended for the public to play. A few hundred gamers were able to play it for less than 30 minutes. We sincerely apologize to our partners at Ubisoft for this mistake. And that was from Google that actually made that boo-boo there. Interesting. It's kind of funny that you know, some of that stuff happens, but they said that apparently, though, they're looking at they're going to probably have, you know, announce some more details by the end of the summer. So I guess we'll have to wait and see what is going on with that. But kind of cool if you were one of the few hundred people that able to actually play that for a short period of time.
You know what this whole thing kind of made me think of, though, especially with this being E3 week and all? You know, one of the more memorable E3s I think we all remember was that year when I think you, me, and Jamie were all there in person that year. I think it was 2005 or 2006. No, maybe it was right after that. It might have been one of the airport years, because I just remember that on the Xbox 360, they did that whole E3 at home thing. And you could download all these demos on your 360, and they were
that
a lot of
that was 2006.
The same. Was it 2006? Okay, it was that year.
It was 2006. Yeah, it was Lost Planet, MotoGP 6, and
okay,
so something else. I don't remember.
That was really cool, and a lot of us thought that was a really neat way to kind of participate with the E3 experience, even if we couldn't actually be at E3 and so forth. So my point is, now that we live in this day and age of cloud streaming games and being able to play games on the cloud and so forth, especially when it was noted that, hey, this game was supposed to be for developers. It was like an internal thing. It was supposed to be a preview. You know, that whole type of thing is not done yet. Like, why couldn't we roll demos out like this? Like,
no, they're never going to do that again.
Why?
And the reason for that is because what they'll do is they will show gameplay footage that they'll stream gameplay footage that they have control over, because they can control the experience. And then that way they can control whether, so that you don't see bugs, so you don't see, you know, partially developed gameplay. They have a way that they can control the narrative a lot easier than if they were to develop demos to release on these platforms. And unfortunately, it takes more development time to put out these, you know, vertical slice demos and stuff to show off. It would be cool to see that, but I don't think we're going to see AAA publishers doing this anytime soon at all. It's just not the way that they do business anymore, especially now that we have these large scale, you know, streaming events. They could just stream gameplay, get people hyped up about it, and just go from there. They don't need to have a demo put out there where people could pick it apart and complain about how it's terrible because it's, you know, work in progress and that type of stuff. So yeah, unfortunately, we're never going to see that again.
Your answer is logical and makes complete sense, Loki. That being said, I don't like it.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's just the way the industry is. I don't like it either. Yes, I would like it.
I don't wanna. I want to go back to what it was. No, you're right. You're right that it's development time and deadlines for a demo that sometimes is poorly received and ends up affecting the game as a result. I get all that. But there's that part of me, and you know, people on Twitter and a lot of gamers like this, why can't they just do a time demo of the real product? Or why can't they do level one? They don't have to tailor it that much, Loki. Why?
Well, you can get that now with a lot of these games that go the whole early access route. So I mean, there's a lot of opportunity to play stuff early, and there's even, you know, for example, indie studios are willing to develop, you know, substantial demos for their products. One that I keep talking about, that I have wishlists on Steam, and I was talking about it earlier this week, I pointed out as well, is a game called One Dreamer. They have One Dreamer Prologue that you can go play for free. It's the opening act for the game and gives you a really good idea of what it's going to be like. And I think it's a great game and definitely worth checking out. That's something that they've put together a demo for. So I think it depends. Like, a lot of indie developers want to get their, you know, games out there and get, you know, word of mouth traveling about it. And so they're more willing to spend the time, I think, to put together a vertical slice of their game so that people can check it out. But there's a lot of ways nowadays to be able to check out games in progress. Whereas back in 2006 and 2005, you may have just had like a lot of the game demo discs and stuff like that. You didn't really have game streaming or anything like that to be able to see in progress stuff. It was, you know, what showed up in a magazine or what, you know, you saw on IGN or something like that during E3, or in this case, you were able to play a demo. I wish they would still do more of that, but it's just not going to happen because, you know, they've had it bite them too many times where people, even at E3, see a demo of a game and they immediately judge a game by the demo, knowing that it's not finished, and they're like, well, it's terrible, I'm not going to buy this, you know, so... and then you also have the folks that like EA that want to sell you a demo for, you know, 30 days in advance for a monthly fee. So I think we can count on indie game devs to, you know, fulfill that need for us. But unfortunately, we're not going to see that widespread.
Okay, I will, and SG100 Matt in chat says, Rob has gone full Veruca Salt. Fair, but I will concede that point because this seems to happen a lot in the industry. Where the AAA developers have gone and moved on, the indie developers are here to save the day. So you're right. If I want to play some more demos, I bet there is a crap ton of indie stuff out there that I need to be better about looking for and supporting. So I think that's a good message to leave things on. I'm just still shocked with this technology, Logie. All right. The fifth dream today in our chat says, remember the PlayStation VR demo disc? Yes, I guess
they've updated that several times, too. Yeah, it's digital now.
There's like three different versions of it, right?
Yeah, well, it's digital now, and they keep updating the titles in it because obviously, you know, some of the titles in there are pretty old. So, you know, they keep updating that, and that's cool that they have VR demos. That I understand because, you know, you're getting into VR, you know, you may have like a brand new headset or something like that, and you don't have anything to play, which was the case when I was playing the demo stuff. And so it gave me a good idea of like what I wanted to purchase. But, you know, I think a lot of those titles, they're already complete and now they're just putting out something because they knew they needed this demo disc. It's not necessarily to showcase an upcoming game.
VR is also a challenging VR is also a challenging thing where you can't just show VR on YouTube. You know, VR is something you kind of have to experience to see what's going to be right for you. Like I could play B-roll of Tetris Effect and show you what a cool game Tetris Effect is. I can't describe for you, I can't show you, I can't explain to you why Tetris Effect is better in VR. You just have to try it. And like the demo disc is a way for you to try it. I say Tetris Effect just because that's a favorite VR game of mine. I don't think it's actually on any of these demos, but you know, it's a lot of these games that they need a demo because it's really truly the only way you can see what the game really is.
Yeah, or like Rez was another one that they had on the
Area
demo
X
list.
Hell yeah, yeah.
Well, so, not even Area X, but like, there's something, you know, hey, Area X, is that going to become a full game? I'd like to know something about that.
I was convinced that Area X was the prototype for Rez 2 that for whatever reason, they didn't believe there'd be enough of a market for, which is sad. But I full on think Area X was a demo for a Rez 2 or a Rez VR project that's as far as they got basically. And they didn't get to see the full one to fruition, which is sad because I freaking love Rez. So, all right. Anyhow, let's talk about other technologies. This one coming to the Microsoft Xbox, although it's weird to call this a new technology. It's just kind of one of those, oh, it's just your machines are getting smarter. So basically, the 25-digit codes that you may be used to having bundled in with your console are not going to necessarily be there anymore. This is like when you buy a console that has games. Like when I did finally buy Xbox One, I got the 1 terabyte Xbox One that came with Halo Anniversary Collection. But it was a digital copy of Halo Anniversary Collection. I had to put in a 25-digit code. What's going to happen now moving forward through a program called Digital Direct is that it's just tied to your Xbox. Your Xbox already knows that you're entitled to this software, and it just shows up in a new section under your My Library section on your Xbox, and that the game will be right there waiting for you. The first time...
Huh? I was going to say, honestly, I just thought it was, because I know that they have the QR codes with the stuff before. I just thought it would be phone app and QR codes.
That's a great way to do it. Yeah, because they were using, when Xbox One was first out, it was QR codes because they all had Kinect cameras. And you would hold the QR code up and the Kinect camera would scan it.
Well, they could just have an Xbox app, so just use a QR scanner through your phone.
That's really smart.
Don't you guys have phones?
But in some ways, this is even better because there's no code in a QR form or otherwise. There's no codes. So that is something that is going to be unleashed with the Cyberpunk 2077 Xbox One X that's coming out. I think it just came out, even though the game itself is not out till September. But the console already knows you're entitled to the game. I wonder if they're doing that through like a MAC address range or something where like they know certain consoles manufactured are just entitled to this. I'm not
I'll
sure.
I'll tell you what it really is.
What is it?
It's preventing resale. It's because
smart.
You know, folks will sell the game separately from the console or try to resell that stuff because that happened a lot. And so it's to prevent resale.
That is an wow. Loki with the facts tonight. I hate it. All right. No, just kidding. Bobby in chat says it's tied to the serial number. That makes sense as well. I also wanted to read Bobby's comment because I'm just now seeing this about the VR and the demo disc and all that. Bobby says, this is why I bring my VR gear to Dragon Con. I can only show you the door. It is up to you to walk through it. And that's true. I was not like completely sold on VR. I was always kind of like, oh, you know, my brain was still tied to 90s VR, Lawnmower Man shit, which was very different. Like, remember when VR was big in the 90s? Remember that? And then, like, it kind of went away.
Yeah, all the mind's eye stuff.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what they made us think it is.
My brain was still on that shit. Like, I remember, okay, storytelling time. I remember, for whatever weird reason, the store that I used to rent video games from also had a VR headset that they rented. It was a VR headset that would hook up to your Super Nintendo. All it fucking was, you guys, it was like these glasses you put on and the TV would just be right there in front of your face. That's all it was. So that as you turned around, the TV was right there with you. There was no fucking VR in that thing at all. And that Jurassic Park game is one of the games that I played on it. And that's why that game scared the shit out of me. And it had the built-in headphones and all that stuff too. But anyway, my point is that my perception, my brain was still kind of there. And it wasn't until I really played it at Dragon Con when then Bobby was like, I think Rob will like this. And I think Rob will like this music game. When then I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I want this. And that's where VR kind of struggles sometimes because it's not something I can just roll the VR footage. And you will experience it the same way. You have to kind of actually check it out. All right.
SSJ100. Was that the Victor Max or something?
Oh, the thing I played with from the video store in the 90s?
Yeah, it says they'll run your Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis games from a Victor Max virtual reality headset.
That sounds right. That sounds right. Because all it did, you just plugged whatever it was into the headset and then voila, it played.
That sounds stupid.
It was.
But
again, you have to remember in the 90s, VR was a fucking fad, right? It was the Lawnmower Man. It was all this, which was a novel by Stephen King that became a really shitty movie. And, you know, that was the stuff that was around in the 90s. And so somebody in a room somewhere thought, how can we get in on VR? What if we could make every Super Nintendo game play like a VR game, but it's really just a piece of shit headset that just puts a TV in front of you. We'll make billions. So anyway, yeah. All right, moving on. So I don't know how we got from Digital Direct to stories about the Lawnmower Man, but welcome to Orange Lounge Radio. Hope you're enjoying the ride. Okay, let's move on, Loki.
All right, so this is kind of cool. So there's a brand new, basically, I think they have a crowdfunding campaign for a program called Colors Live, and it allows folks to paint on a Nintendo Switch. But what's unique about it, though, is it has a unique pen that has pressure sensitivity built into it. Now, you may be asking yourself, well, how the hell is that possible, considering that, you know, the touchscreen on the Nintendo Switch is not pressure sensitive? Well, apparently the pen actually connects through your headphone jack, and it allows, it basically sends a sound signal to detect the pressure sense, the pressure part of that, whereas the stylus would just, you know, detect where you're tapping on the screen. So with that together, it works pretty well to be able to actually paint on your tablet. So it's pretty cool. So apparently they have a Kickstarter for it right now. And apparently the bundle with the app and the pen together will run $41.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, or let's see here. Apparently I don't know if it's been done. It says sign up to be notified. Has this been completed yet? Yes. So apparently that, just ended. And of course they, looks like they did hit their backing on that, but, colorslive.com if you're interested in checking that out now that it's over. But it's an interesting piece of tech, though. I'm curious to see how that's going to work with, you know, whether games are going to have there. But apparently this is a long live of they've had other Colors apps. So they had one out apparently back on the original DS. They had one for the 3DS called Colors 3D. And now they have this Colors Live with this new pen. So it'd be interesting to see what that looks like when it comes out. I want to see it at retail.
So this Nintendo Switch does a lot of neat things, and that we're starting to hear like some of the things that it can kind of do with the technology that aren't always advertised. And this is, I think, one of those things where it's like, oh, it's this app that kind of unlocks more things we're not used to seeing on the Nintendo Switch. And my brain went to another game that I've been playing this week that I completely forgot to talk about during my gaming week because I'm just, my brain's going 100 miles an hour. But I need to talk about Clubhouse games because that came out on the Nintendo Switch this past week or the week before as well. And so I've been playing that. And the reason why I'm bringing it up now with this story that talks about like different technologies that we're unlocking within the Switch, did you know, because I didn't, that Clubhouse Games uses that, and I think they call it mosaic technology, where when you lie the Switch down flat, it creates a multi-screen experience. I had no idea Clubhouse Games supported this, but it does.
How well does that work with like the Switch Lite? Does that work with the Switch Lite?
I don't know yet. I will answer that question next week because my husband has a Switch Lite, and I keep meaning to try this with him. I just haven't yet. However, that being said, one of the games that I know this does this in Clubhouse Games is the slot car game. So the slot car game is, you know, the old slot where you pull the trigger and the car goes faster down.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of tracks that you just, you know, you have on the screen. If you put two switches next to each other, it makes a track that goes across both switches. But here's the crazy part. You could put one switch vertical, one switch horizontal, one switch vertical under that in like a weird, and it will make a track that goes across all the screens in the way you've laid it out.
It's pretty cool.
That's rad. That is rad. And nobody, and I think very few people are talking about it because it's in fucking Clubhouse Games. There is also the piano mini game. I love Clubhouse Games. I shouldn't like say, oh, it's just Clubhouse. Actually, this game doesn't get enough credit. It was badass on the DS and it's badass now. So there's a piano thing. So if you just play it like you have it down, you can play like you're playing a piano. If you put another switch next to that, now it's a 2-octave piano and you can play like, yeah, right? So who knew the Switch could even do this? But you're right. I have no idea how the Switch Lite messes with that. So I'll try to see if that still works. Comments in chat. Dark Tetsuya says, oh yeah, the wife and I have had sessions of Clubhouse Games just waiting on the VOG nights. Yeah, I know we need to get to that. Bobby Blackwell says, Mario Party does this too. I'm loving Clubhouse Games. I've probably already spent 10 hours on it. Yeah, I'm kicking myself for not bringing it up earlier, but I've been trying to produce the show and be a star on it all at the same time. So sometimes I forget to talk about things. But yeah, Clubhouse Games is cool. And I love that it like, oh yeah, they aren't even advertising really. I mean, it's probably out there on a blog somewhere, but that the mosaic thing is in it and it's badass. It's so cool. So I'll have to find out about the Switch Lite though. Now, real quick, because you know, people in chat are asking about the VR headset experience I was talking about. Bonds 006 in chat said, my girlfriend loved your rant, got her coming over to the PC to listen to your story. My girlfriend wants to ask how let down you were that day. that I played the VR headset, and my answer was, I was 12. It was fucking rad. Like, I wasn't let down. I was
this is a time when, like, the Virtual Boy is like, oh my god, this is the future, you know? It's like, I wish it was in color, but
amazing. It was still amazing. Like, I was 12 and I didn't care. And now that I'm looking back on it, I'm like, you know, it was actually kind of cool that, like, because my mom always would complain, like, you know, that she wanted to watch TV. Rob, get off the TV so I can watch such and such. Or was that more, she had a TV in her bedroom, so sometimes it was when her and my dad wanted to watch something. Get off the TV, right? But if I had one of these little headsets, they could use the TV and I could play a game on my little headset. So, but again, you think I'm going to be able to convince my mom to, can you buy me a $500 headset so you can play? No, that wasn't going to fly. So I only got to rent it like once or twice and play with it that way. That was it. So anyway. All right. Bobby says the mosaic thing was in all the trailers. I guess I just completely overlooked. I didn't need the trailers. When I heard Clubhouse Games was coming to Switch, I was like, sold. I didn't need anything else, so maybe that's why I just totally missed it. I don't know. Questbuster in chat says, young me was floored when I tried out a VR rig at Epcot, not by the weight of the headset or the giant cable that came out the back, but by the experience. Oh, yeah, you know. And again, especially if you're younger, like, technology's so much cooler. Speaking of things we enjoyed when we were younger, and I think this is a good note to end on tonight, guess what's coming back in mobile form? That's right, Neopets. Neopets that started in 1999. Neopets is older than this show, and that's saying something.
This was a fad they never got in on.
So, remember in the early days of OLR, Loki? Like, Jamie and I were playing this shit all the time and talking about our stupid Neopets on the show. Like,
blocked that out from my brain, so...
Well, let me remind you, my friend. We used to talk about that during our gaming weeks. All that fucking Neopets shit. And Neopets, it's still around. It never went away. It's always still been there. But now in the year 2020... Neopets put out a tweet this week. Now you can do Neopets on desktop and on mobile. So if you abandoned your Neopet in 1999 and haven't fed it in 20 years, good news is your Neopet is not dead. Your Neopet will still be there, and you can check on it in a mobile form if that is something that you're interested in doing. This whole thing was really just a ruse for me to ask the chat. I'm going to ask yourself, I want to know who's still playing Neopets. Out yourself. Who's still playing Neopets? Bonds 006 fesses up. I still play Neopets. I got the update for mobile. Let's see. What other comments? Orange Wright says, probably haven't fed my Neopet in about a decade or so. Pixel Paca says, I mean, you could play it on your phone, but it wasn't optimized for it in any way. But you knew that, so you tried. Wink. All right. Let's see. Fifth Dream Today said, I tried a month or so ago, but I can't get into my account. So I love it. You guys are... I think the email address that was tied to my Neopets account, I don't use anymore. So I don't even know if I could get into my Neopets account even if I wanted to. So there's that. What in the world is my cat doing? I'm sorry, you guys, but he's got his eye on something. He's jumping up on the counter. I don't know. Hopefully he must have seen other daddy coming in here and thinking at that minute was feeding time, even though he's already eaten. But I'm keeping an eye on him. All right. Anyway, sorry, guys. So this is the part of the show where we open up our listener roundtable. And if you have any questions or comments, or you want me to tell more VR headset stories from the 90s, I certainly will. Speak up in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. While we wait and gather some questions or comments, I'm going to ask Loki if he has any last minute stories like I usually do at this point.
I don't really have too much. I remember we had talked about the PlayStation 5 and how we wish there was more color options, and I said that there's probably a skinning company already doing it. Well, I already see that Dbrand has a PS5 listed on their site with skin options.
Ah. You know there's going to be third-party stuff out the wazoo anyway. There's
of
certainly
course,
that.
Yeah.
Ooh, we already got some comments in chat. Love it. Hype Mayhem says, Rob, okay, so I grabbed that Samurai Showdown collection that's free on Epic, and I've been playing that. I love it, if only for Samurai Showdown 4, which I played the shit out of while in college. Did you and Loki get that freebie on Epic? What are your thoughts on it? I did grab the freebie. I haven't played it yet. Sorry. But I'm looking forward to doing so because I don't remember Samurai Showdown 4 as much, but I definitely remember the first two. So I will check that out. Loki, did you grab that free on Epic Store? So I think there's that.
I
always
grab the freebies, yeah.
There's that and there's Ark. Yeah, for sure. And you know, we love our retro throwbacks. Don't forget, not only is there that Samurai Showdown collection, but if you're a Twitch Prime person, there's Neo Geo stuff at the wazoo that's free on Twitch Prime right now if you use the Twitch app. So don't, here's your reminder if you're sitting there right now. If you haven't claimed those games, get on it. And if you want to say thanks, you could always toss your free sub over to VOG Network. We definitely appreciate that. And you get access to our video archives with all the old shows. Of course, the audio content is free as it has been for the last 18 years. Bobby Blackwolf is asking, favorite Clubhouse games? Great question. My favorite, probably Speed, honestly, because I remember playing that when I was a kid, and I don't think I've played that since I was a kid. So the fact that, like, Speed, of all things, is in Clubhouse games is pretty awesome. Now, you know with 51 games, there's going to be some stinkers, though. And, like, Loki, one of the 51 games in Clubhouse games is War. Do you know what game War is? Have you ever played War?
Yeah, I've played War.
Yeah, it's just turn over the card and the highest card wins. That's War.
It's like, we got to pad this out. Let's pad this out with some.
What they do, and I've never seen War played this way. I've seen War played two ways. I've seen cut the deck and play it that way. I've seen spread out an ocean and each person picks a card from the ocean and does it that way. This one, hold on, y'all. You put three cards face down in front of you, and you pick which of the three cards you're going to turn over.
Ooh, it's so thrilling.
I know, right? So anyway, I don't want to dwell on the negative because I love Clubhouse games, but that was definitely one of the games that made me go, Nintendo, please. Yacht Dice, because it's just yacht. It's Yahtzee, but it was originally, you know, Yacht Dice. And the six ball, the Battle Balls. What do they call it? Six ball puzzle? Something like that? I like that one, too. Let's see. Oh, and last card. That's just Uno, but under a different name. I forced myself to learn how to play President because I was like, is this the game I thought it was? And it wasn't, but I learned a new game. So that's kind of cool. Like, it's kind of fun to learn a new game on Clubhouse Games. So there was that. Let's see. Going to some comments from chat. Bobby Blackwolf says, yeah, I hate War. I played it enough to get the gold trophy and then turned it off. Sevens is my jam. Dark Tetsuya says Renegade is my jam. Orange Wright says, even the fun fact says that traditional War isn't even a game. Bobby Blackwolf says, one of the things that's interesting about Klondike is that it will tell you immediately when you lose, not when you've gone through all the cards. So you can just undo once and try something different. Yeah. And Bobby Blackwell says President is kind of like Great Dao Multi. You know, there are so many card games out there that you probably know under a different house variation. This was funny. Okay, so I'm going to tell a work story. So we were talking about games because it was like our team building call. And we were talking about like what's a game that you have fond memories of. And one of the people on the call brought up that her family really liked to play BS. Right? Have you ever played that card game bullshit, basically, where you say you put the cards face down and you're like, I am playing two sevens and somebody says bullshit and you turn them over. And if you didn't actually play two sevens, you have to take all the cards that have been laid down. And if somebody miscalled you on it, they have to take all the cards. Right. So you've probably played this game at some point. But she said because they didn't want to say bullshit in front of the kids, they call the game Blue Salmon. Or something. I think that's what it was. Was it Blue Salmon? It was something like that. So that's what they play. They play Blue Salmon. And so and that's what the Blue Salmon, or was it Blue, I don't know, something like Badger or something. I don't know. But anyway, so people come up with all these different names. And come to think of it, I even remember years ago when I was in church. So this was a long time ago. Okay. We played bullshit, but it was called I Don't Know. Or no, it was called I don't think so, or something like that. You say I don't think so is what you would say instead of bullshit. So anyway, yeah. SG 100 Matt says bull spit. Yep.
Bull spit. Yeah.
Boy Scout. So there it is. How funny. S.J. 100 Matt says, that's what my grandmother told me it was. Bull spit. That's a really... I love the stories we get told as kids. All right. Any lies you're telling your children, Loki?
I don't know. Probably.
All right. Oh, Bobby Blackwell says, I doubt it was the name of it in the DS games. That's right. Oh, Azette said the broccoli farm. Well, the listeners with the receipts. Well, I love it. All right. Loki, any other last-minute stories?
Yes, this is... it's interesting. So I don't know if you remember back to The Simpsons, where there was a gag where I think Bart was playing a golf game called Lee Carvello's Putting Challenge. It's like some really terrible game. Well, apparently someone's decided to make that a real thing. And so you can now play that for free on itch.io. So it's pretty funny. They actually put together the game using sound clips from the show.
I love that somebody went to the lengths to actually make it a real thing. It's great. The Simpsons predicting the future yet again.
Or I'm sorry. It looks like Martin was playing that. So it's funny. But neat. That's it.
All right. Well, I think that's it from our chat room as well. So this is the part of the show where we're going to wrap things up. Thank you guys so much for downloading and listening to our show this week or listening to us live, however you consume Orange Lounge Radio. We really appreciate you guys being here. And if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or two. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But we need those voices to be here to help help us spread the chat and the love and the different perspectives and all that good stuff. We will be back in 7 days. I'm sure there's going to be more gaming news this week. This is probably going to be a pretty busy month for gaming news. It's not going to happen all at once, but like slow trickle through probably all the summer. Do we have any big events that we know next? Oh, the EA. We talked about that earlier in the show. So the EA events this next week, right? So maybe Jamie and I get to spend 3 hours talking about a Mass Effect trilogy remaster next week. I really hope that's the case. Fingers and toes crossed. So
maybe, or more Sims, or I don't know. New Star Wars game.
There's that for sure. We know that one.
Battlefield.
Yep. So that'll be some exciting stuff to talk about next week. As much shit as EA sometimes gets, there's some pretty darn good games that come out of it. So we'll be looking at that for next week, and who knows what else. So we'll be back in 7 days to do that all again. Thank you so much for downloading the feed, and thank you so much for those of you guys that are listening live as well. If you enjoyed the show, tell a friend, leave a nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes. I don't think we've gotten a review on iTunes in like 3 years, but I would appreciate if someone would leave one tonight or wherever it is you found this show. I know a lot of you are listening on Spotify and other places as well. Maybe you're listening directly at vognetwork.com. That's fine, too. However you're listening to the show, I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. I think that's it. I think we get to give our final thoughts now. So I'll start. My final thought tonight is... black lives still matter. Black trans lives especially still matter. It is Pride Month. Let us not forget that Pride was a riot that was started by trans women, black trans women. So don't forget that. That's what I got. Loki.
I'm going to probably end up playing more Minecraft this week because I'm stuck in that loop. So I need to stream some.
All right. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for listening to our show tonight. We will see you next time here at Orange Lounge Radio in 7 days here at the Voice Geeks Network. Happy gaming. Enjoy it. There's a lot of good stuff out there. Enjoy it. Good luck when those pre-orders for PlayStation 5 go up. Have a great week, everybody. We will see you next time. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into vognetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.